The first step in the essential practice guidelines includes acknowledging the complexity of culture and understanding that cultures are not static. In fact, cultural definitions for both the evaluator and the respondent can change over time and often include multiple and conflicting norms and values. The second step is recognizing the power dynamic associated with culture. Culture is not neutral in different social power, and rankings are assigned to cultural groups. This means evaluators must be aware of the significance that the existing social and political order places on different cultures, creating these power differentials between groups. For instance, in some countries, immigrant populations are given lower priorities for healthcare, education, employment, and other essential necessities, placing them in positions of lower social power within the larger societal context. It should also be noted that even within the same cultural group, there can be different social, political, and economic power stratification. Sometimes, even language dialect can be used to reflect a subgroup status. For instance, a specific accent may be interpreted as less desirable, or even convey as coming from a different geographic region that is seen as less important by the larger group. In evaluations, incorporating cultural competence helps to avoid reinforcing these power differentials in the findings. Third, it's important to minimize or eliminate language bias. Language is a powerful way to bring messages both positive and negative. Therefore, it's important to use careful thoughts as to which words to use when asking questions, interpreting responses, and disseminating findings. Finally, the evaluator should use culturally appropriate methods. The tools used for collection, analysis, and interpretations of findings are not value-free. It's important to develop methods of data collection and reporting that fit with the culture and needs of the communities and organizations being evaluated.